So how is this album different from the other stuff you guys have put out?
I think it's matured a lot. We've been together as a band for actually like 11 years now. You know, so in the early days, it was just having a bunch of fun, you know, hanging out with your buddies, making music. You know, things when you're 21 and 22, you have a different perspective on life. Obviously, it's more of a party time. And, you know, through the years, we've, you know, in the, you know, good times and bad times, you know, being on a label, you know, traveling, doing all this, like living the dream, per se, and then you get it taken from you. It hits pretty hard. And then real life steps in, people popping out, kids getting married, you know, losing their marriages, losing their girls they've been with for years and years. And, you know, like ups and downs, you know, you just grow as people over that many years. And then we came, we're all like brothers, you know. We don't necessarily even have to speak to each other. You know what I mean? We go through times where we don't speak to each other. And we lost a couple guys in the group, then they came back, and it's just, basically the new album's called Appetite for Dysfunction for a reason. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, we've been through a lot together, and, you know, it shows on this, this new album shows our talent, but it shows our experience and our maturity. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely evolved a lot. And I think it's a mixture of everything we've always done, you know, in one album. You know, I'm real happy with it. You know, I can't even tell you how happy I am with this album. On the other albums, I liked them, but there was always a few tracks that just wasn't really what I wanted to do, or what, you know, we would argue about songs a lot because we always had way more music than we put out. And then, you know, the label was kind of in control of, you know, the first record, and different producers, huge producers, which mad love for them, you know, but sometimes that can take away from the rawness of the feeling of the music.
Mm-hmm.
When you take something that sounded good as a basement recording and turn it into a $60,000 record, you know what I mean? You would think that would be the best thing to do, or that's what you want to do. But a lot of times that kind of kills the vibe. And on this one, we did it all ourselves. You know, it took us longer. It took us 3 years to do it. But finally, we just buckled down and we did it. And it's just like, it's a stepping stone. You know what I mean? It's something I think we're all real proud of. And people need to hear it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So
16 tracks on this album. So you're telling me that you guys had more than 16 tracks to go with? I mean, what's your writing process? Like, you guys must be churning them out like crazy.
Well, it's... There's a few of us that write more than others. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's always been like that. You know, but like we came out with something called Early Times, which was a double disc. And it was like all this stuff that we never put out. And we got to the point where like, well, we don't even care what it sounds like. You know, the people want it. We got fans that love it. You know, our friends that listen to it and swear by it and always want to give a shit because, well, you should have put this song out. Well, it's half finished, man. You know, it doesn't matter. I love it like that. It's like, cool. Well, then we'll just put that out. So we did that with the Early Times. And with this one, yeah, we had a lot more stuff, but, Tim Bernauer is our, drummer, but he's very good at timelining an album. So things kind of go together and it's something you can pop in. And for the most part, you know, you just keep it on, you know, you just keep it on repeat instead of having to be like, well, I like these two songs. These four suck. This song doesn't make any sense with, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so those of you that didn't make the cut that, of course, people in the band were, because you can't please everybody. I mean, it's eight people. You know what I mean? That's pretty tough to do. To keep a band together for over 10 years with eight people is damn near impossible, especially, you know, if you're not, you don't got those big checks coming in like some of these, you know, huge bands out here from back in the day. So I just think that we picked the ones that made sense together, and if there was a song that just didn't really fit, you know, then we would cut it, and we weren't real worried about it. We're like, well, we'll do something with it later, and if we don't, then that's okay too. We just wanted an album that we personally could listen to all the way through and liked every bit of it. And you know, 16 tracks is a good amount. Like for instance, the intro, it was supposed to be a song, like a complete song with, mm-hmm. you know, verses and all this stuff, but it just, we liked it how it was, so we were like, well, that's the intro. And the last song, which is Tough to Me, was something that we would never in our life actually put on an album, because it's just, he's basically just joking around and making fun of us. And we always swore we'd never use auto-tune and try to keep things authentic and whatever. And so the story behind the last song, because Talk to Me was like our, something we thought was our single. We thought it was really strong on the hooks and all that. Made a video for it. And, but it took forever to get the right mix down. And Tuck was usually behind trying to either get the right mix himself or send it to somebody to get the right mix and send it back or whatever. So he sent it to us three or four times. And, you know, between me and Tim and Child, a few of the guys that are, you know, behind the, you know, the fine-tuning of the final product, he would send it to us. He'd send it back, nah, bass is drowning something out. And then send it back, the vocal, he took the double away. It needs to be back on there, whatever. And he got so sick of it. But I guess he got a buzz one night and he's like, you know, screw it. I'm gonna here's what I got for you. So he started like making fun of our verses and freestyling, and he threw all kinds of, you know, the auto tune all over it and everything and sent it to us as final mix. So we all were, you know, sitting at home like, oh, this is it. This is the right one. And all of a sudden it's Tough. You know? This is with this just goofy ass shit, you know, and we just thought that was so funny. That we were like, you know, we should just put it on there. Just put it on the album, you know? So that way, you know, well, it's an inside joke to us. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So that's how that made the cut. So I don't know, from the beginning to end, I guess it's the darkness and the seriousness of it to set the mood. And by the end of it, you know, we got to throw our little, you know, our little comedian, you know, our little, I don't know what's the best word for it, comedic feel to it or something. You know, kind of light at the end of the tunnel, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. There are a lot of musicians out there that are kind of classified by their geographical location. You know, like you think Katy Perry, like every freaking song she does, she mentions California. Or like Biggie. Biggie's always talking about Brooklyn. And you guys are, you know, you guys are the Louisville band. I mean, could you imagine yourselves if you were somewhere else? Do you think your music would be completely different if you were raised somewhere else?
It definitely would. I mean, people are products of their environment, whether they like it or not. You know, and that has a lot to do with the reason we even came up with the name Philbillies.
Mm-hmm.
It was because, like, at first we were juggling names around. We were like, well, Kentucky Bread, or we're like, no, you don't have Kentucky in it, you know, or we were Awkward Mob and all this. We could not think of a name. And we didn't really care what our name was, you know what I mean? We were just doing it for the fun. There mm-hmm. were so many of us. We were just like a group of people. It didn't, you know, we weren't concerned with it. But as we started to start, you know, play out-of-town shows, we realized that even though in Kentucky, we're definitely considered like city boys
mm-hmm.
for Kentucky. But when you're not in Kentucky or in the South, people are like, y'all are some hillbillies. And we all from Kentucky. Ha ha. That's, you know, people still think we don't wear shoes and shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we kind of played into it. Child, one of the, you know, MCs in the group, he in a verse early on, he said, you know, we're Billbillies. And it just kind of stuck. It was like, oh, because it's the city, the Bill, which is here, you know, it's the city mixed with what people think of us, you know? So mm-hmm. we're Billbillies. We're not hillbillies. It's like a new breed. You know what I mean?
I got you.
And a lot of people here, you know, caught on to that, I feel like. And yeah, our sound is very, it's very Louisville, Kentucky, but it's also very Louisville in the way that we see it and that we made it in the way that it came out. We created our own thing with like-minded people. We were just having fun. There was a lot of talent. There was a lot of us. We used to go out to every club every single night, bars, whatever. I mean, we were just wild, you know, crazy Billbillies, you know what I mean? And we went on tour with Head PE, though, and people loved that about us, you know what I'm saying? They loved the authenticness of what we were. But I got to tell you, you know, after being out on the, you know, the road with, you know, people and, you know, from different cities and different places, it's like you don't realize, but you kind of start to, you know, not turn into those people by any means. I don't mean it like that, but it's like you find yourself taking on new styles and you're into different stuff that's not available in Louisville, Kentucky. So as an artist, I feel like if you're a product of your environment, if you're in New York, you're going to have a taste of New York in you, whether you like it or not. And if you don't, then you're probably faking it a little bit.
Absolutely.
You know, it's kind of like an accent thing. It's like, I have an accent. I know that. But if I talk to, you know, somebody from the South and, you know, what's up, man, blah, blah, I'm like, oh, okay, you're from the South, but way further south than me. And I can tell that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Just like people in L.A. and New York can tell I'm from somewhere. You know, like, you're not from here. There's no way of getting around it. But I bet that if I lived in Europe for 4 years, I'd accidentally take on some kind of European, southern, weird accent. It just happens. You know what I mean? It does.
Absolutely. You'd be having caviar for lunch and drinking tea with your pinky out and all that stuff.
Right. And you know what? Why not? Because I think artists and people, I think it's good to change. I think it's good to experience new things and live, you know, multiple lives. And, you know, that's growth. That's you're supposed to evolve, you know, as a person, and I think that naturally happens. But the Vilbilly sound, if it ever did have a chance of changing and not being authentic, it'd be obvious that something that, you know, we must have blown up and made a whole bunch of money and moved away, you know, because it's in our veins. What we do is in our veins, you know, so.
You mentioned evolution earlier. What do you think you've learned about yourself over the last couple of years? I mean, you've gone through a lot, and I mean, you've had, you know, you've changed record labels a couple of times. People have left a band. How hard has it been to just, you know, keep this baby going and producing?
Real hard. I mean, super, just crazy hard. Sometimes I don't know how we did it, but I guess I'm very driven, me personally, and there's a few guys in this group that are very, very driven and love what we do. We love making music, and we knew it worked. We've had our share of knowing it works. We've, you know, went from, you know, kids who didn't have shit, you know, wishing that they could even just, you know, throw a show or a concert and bring 30 people to it, to playing in front of, you know, 10, 20,000 people in different states and hanging out at celebrity parties and all this stuff. So we came so far, you know, to just stop. It just, for me, you know, you just can't do that. I mean, I'm going to do music regardless if it was with the Vilbillies or not. You know, that's just the person I am. It's my medicine. You know, it's my life force. It's what gets me by, you know, period. And I think there's a few people in the band that feel the same way. But we just knew that Vilbillies was such a staple, and it was such a time period in our life, and we did have success with it, that we just wanted to keep it going, regardless of how hard it could be at times, or who wanted to be in the group and who didn't. Well, it's good. You know what? In the group, fine. We'll make it work. I mean, that's how we do it, you know. And you know, the last 3 years has honestly been the hardest, just because everybody's, you know, growing up, and we, you know, we have to work regular jobs. We don't have a choice. We have to pay all of our own bills. I've been doing that for a long time, so I'm used to it. But I also don't have any kids, and there's people in the group that do have kids. And if they feel like they're not capable of, you know, being a part of the group to the extent of what they used to be in, because they need to take to their kids, well, then of course you got to respect that. And you know, but you just keep going. You know, it's about the music first. And you know, like with this album, you know, we love it. We think everybody should hear it. Although we do know how things are with radio, we do know how major labels work. We know how people in our own town work. It's like, you know, they support you and you leave, and then you come back and they're so, like, they're just, everybody's talking about you because you left, and they think that you're going to make it, and then you lose your record deal, and then the crowds get smaller. And it's like, wow, you know, and it happens with so many bands, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So we see that happen too, and it's like, you just got to remind yourself that you do it for yourself first. You do it for your family and your people around you that appreciate it. And really, anything past that is a bonus. And if you keep that mentality, then you're able to continue. If you're making music, you know, for everybody else and trying to please this person and that person, you start thinking about trying to get a big house or, you know, being on, you know, MTV when they actually play videos and stuff like that. If you get caught up in that, then your music fails, I feel like, or, you know, and you forget who you are, so therefore you're just not authentic anymore. You're doing it for the wrong reason. So I think we do it for the right reason, and I think that's why we're able to have the album that we have right now.
How do you want this album to be remembered, say, like a year from now? How do you want people to look at you guys and this, you know, evolution you guys have had?
I think it's one of those things where a lot of people in the world don't know about our shit, and there's a lot of people that do, and even if we're, you know, like, we haven't really put out a whole lot of anything in 3 years until this album, and we still got people waiting to hear it. So I think that the fans that are there, the true fans, they'll always be there, and it's going to be a time period for them, and just like it is for us, and, you know, that really never dies when it's on wax, you know what I mean? It really, people are just now being born, you know, that are getting turned on to the Beatles' first album. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's like, if music has a sense of authenticness, then it can become timeless in a sense. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I would hope that this last album we created, you know, could possibly touch people in that way. I mean, who wouldn't want to feel that way? I'd say in a year's time, I just want this music in more people's hands and in more people's ears. You know, because I think there's a lot of people out there that haven't heard it, that would like it, that can relate to it. And I think it's saddening, you know, that a lot of labels, you know, won't even look into us or give us the time of day because we were on such a major label and it didn't work. And in the industry, that means you have like a black mark against you, basically, which means it's like, well, it didn't work. Even though if it wasn't your fault, it doesn't matter. Something didn't work. So why are we going to, you know, test the market with you? And being the Philbillies, it's a very authentic sound. It's not like something that's already been out there and been so successful that it's like a no-brainer. So they want to pick you up. And we're also not, you know, a bunch of 21-year-olds that, you know, we can have a fresh sound, but we're older. You know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
You know, the youngest guy in the group's like 30, man, you know?
Yeah.
So I think it might be a little harder to get attention. Plus, we don't. You know, we're not related to anybody who's real high up in the game, and none of us have $1 million in our pocket to put out on this big promotional, you know, scheme to shove down everybody's throats where they have no choice but to hear it because it plays every 5 minutes on the radio, like a lot of stuff we've got right there. So it's a little harder for us to get off. It's, to get out of where we are, you know. It either has to be word of mouth or it has to be grassroots in a sense, which is a lot harder to do because then you have to go out there and tour for years and years, and that's really hard when you got kids and bills to pay. You know what I mean? So
mm-hmm.
we find ourselves between a rock and a hard place at times. We just hope that the music is good enough and that, you know, that it'll pass on, you know, kind of on its own. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And if it does, good, and if it doesn't, that's cool too because we love what it is and we're happy to have done what we have and create, you know, a couple new fans every day if that's the case. Humbled by our experience, basically what I'm saying. Like, you know, it is what it is. We make music because we love it. And I would love for everybody to get their chance to enjoy it. And I'd love to hear everybody's opinions on it, so forth. But, you know, if so, great. If not, no big deal, you know.
Mm-hmm.